This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
So, as we just discussed,
yeah,
we're here, at Tripod One, preparing for a show. Give that some thought. You're in the middle of something right now.
I'm doing a mock fantasy draft on Yahoo Fantasy Baseball because fantasy baseball starts in 2 days
on Thursday.
Thursday night at 10:30 p.m.
Central is when the draft is.
Uh-huh.
So let me get this straight. So there's an entire game that is based off of fictionally creating a team of all different kinds of players and tracking their stats.
Mm-hmm. Well, not all different kinds of players, baseball
well,
players.
All different teams of players is what I mean.
Yeah.
And you bring them together and play a game with them that's completely fictional for nothing other than bragging rights during the baseball season.
Yes.
And what you're doing now.
Uh huh.
Is playing
it's a mock
fictional
draft.
You're playing a fictional version of the fake game that doesn't mean anything in order to get better at the fake game. That's what's happening right now.
Well, first off, all games are fake.
I don't know, man. Game of Thrones?
Games are made up.
Game of Thrones is not fake.
But it's made up. It's
the Game of Life isn't made up.
The Game of Life is a terrible board game. It's the worst board game ever. But no, all games are made up. It's something you make up to pass the time.
Notice it's just funny to me that it's entirely based off of something that's not real.
Fantasy baseball is as real as paper money.
Yeah, so not real at all.
Exactly. But it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Just like paper money. So managing a team is the Bitcoin of...
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm
of baseball. Yeah, so you're playing a trial run, a mock game of the real game, to get better at the game that doesn't mean anything and you can't win anything off of. That's what's happening right now.
And it's my pick, and I'm taking it's my 16th pick. I'll take Matt Adams.
To be honest, it's incredible to me that you are single. I don't understand.
It's not.
Why
I mean,
you don't have time for. Putting yourself into a relationship when you have so many other pursuits that are
worthy. Unlike a relationship, fantasy baseball is something I actually try at.
You try, okay.
I put my work into
a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do my
stats,
homework.
Right.
I look at the players that I want to draft and how I want to form my team, kind of. I want to go Cardinal heavy this year.
So...
But yeah, you know, in my
fantasy baseball
I
only
don't
lasts
really do that.
From during baseball season, April,
yeah,
whatever
late,
it is,
yeah, late March through September,
yeah,
so 6.5 months or so.
So every time you've played fantasy baseball on a season of baseball, all of those times have been longer than your longest relationship, correct?
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. I'm trying to think of the longest relationship I had.
And it was with fantasy baseball.
Well, certainly. Hold on. It's my pick.
In which he returns to the computer. This is Give That Some Thought on Tripod Broadcasting, the flagship show.
I got to take another bat before the good bats get dry. I got to take Mike Napoli. Sorry, Lance Lynn. I was going to take you, but have to be for the 18th round. Anyway.
I am your host. Joining is my co-host, the ever nerdy and always involved in fantasy baseball, Matt Hume. And you were joining us for a top 10,000 show on Stitcher Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Give that some thought.
We are in
the top 10,000, and
very proud of that.
It's a spot that we've tried really hard to get, and so now that we have it, there's a lot of pressure on us, a lot of network concerns, things like that.
Well, but now we actually have to perform.
Yes.
You know, because they're looking at us.
Yeah. But it is great to be on the top 10.
Yeah.
And Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio.
I can't say that we're nominated for a Stitcher Award.
But you can't say that we're not.
Well, I can't say that we are. We're just going to leave it at that.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. But what we can say is that we most certainly are. We absolutely are a top 10 show on Stitcher Radio.
Yep. I'm sure anybody listening now has gotten the joke, so you can stop doing it.
The app is available on for iOS, for Android. You can listen to it on the web.
Mm-hmm.
It's cross-platform, and it's great to be there. So.
The Stitcher app.
Thanks.
Get it while it's hot, kids.
Thanks to the boys over at Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Or and girls. We don't want to We don't want to seem sexist.
Yeah.
Sexism is not definitely not something we do on this show or a recurring thing.
No.
No. Not at all.
No. We give proper obedience to both genders. All the time.
What was that word in there?
Obedience?
Yeah, what does that mean? It sounds like if you took obedience and obesity.
No.
And mix the two.
No, but
is it fat people that go to like a dog training camp?
No, it's just to give to give special favor to.
If you dream
so
job.
It has the same connotation as acquiescence.
Dream job.
But in a different way.
You are a counselor at a training camp for fat people.
Okay.
Dream job for you? Yeah.
No. No, I don't want to put those poor people through the rigors of exercise. It's torture. That's torture.
But you would be like that. You would be like the cool prison guard who's like, well, you know, I can get drugs in through the kitchen. Like, of course,
I would.
Like,
well, I've no, got, I would definitely yeah. You'd be running a honey bun racket out of the kitchen.
Yeah, a honey bun racket. You've got like, you know, like the meals are like all subsidized and just like fruits and vegetables. And you're like, I got Cheez-Its on the down low, girl. What's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing but crackers and peanut butter and Snickers and just entire loaves of bread.
Yeah.
The get you fat quick stuff.
What do you think at a skinny camp, and I don't even know that such things exist, but they do in my mind now. What do you think, what do you think a loaf of bread would go for?
I don't know. I would say 2 to 3 times retail.
2 to 3 times retail.
It's depending on the bread. You got your 99 cent loaf.
What do you think a thing of Oreos would go for? Not a sleeve, but a full, like the four rows, like peel off the top, then reseal it.
What are we talking about here? Original or double stuff?
Double stuffed.
Okay,
of course.
Some double stuff.
Yes, some double stuff Oreos at a skinny camp. What's the markup?
Easy $10.
Easy $10.
Yeah, because you're looking at $3 on a you know, tray of those.
Yeah.
So yeah, $10 markup.
$10 markup. Absolutely. Now that we've got that out of the way, how many picks are left?
6 more. I'm about to shut this down, though. I'm going to make one more pick in this show.
You're going to give up on the fake game to get better at the fake game?
Yeah,
to win
we're
fake
doing a
money,
podcast right now.
Points
so
and
it's not fake money at all. It's just... Actually, I'm going to shut it down
or
right
fake
now.
Gold or fake gold? What do this. You get? Just like your first, your second? Like, that's all you get, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You get bragging rights. And you get like little... You know, you get little trophies on your Yahoo profile, which I don't care about. The last time... I spent like 15 minutes yesterday in password recovery. For this
for another
account,
because you did that last week when I was here, because I tried to get you into your Google account, and you had to do the same thing for about
I haven't logged into this Yahoo email address for a year since I set up the fantasy stuff last spring when we were about to do the draft.
Right.
So, you know.
You know that even better than that, and it's not even recommended security, but even better that would make that process easier is you could just write it down somewhere. Like, your effects are all private.
I actually did.
Did you this time?
If you want to look at... It's through, yeah, see?
You kind of have one notebook
all my Yahoo
for
ID and stuff.
Is your password Hobo88?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Because it kind of looks
like...
Definitely
not Hobo88. That's not something that somebody would want to... you know what? We'll cut that out. No, it's actually not Hobo88. It was under that. That was Yahoo Baseball. That wasn't Hobo.
Oh.
It was my weird handwriting, Yahoo Baseball.
Okay. Because it looked a lot like
it was Yahoo
Hobo
BB
88.
For Yahoo Baseball, and then the password and everything were underneath that. But
passwords are a very personal part of life. They can clue you into a little bit about a person.
Uh-huh.
So if I had to guess right now, I would say that your ultimate destiny and or dream is to be a hobo, which I know is true. So
no. My ultimate destiny and dream is to be an Oscar winning super spy. That. That's married.
Oh my god!
That's married to Kat Dennings, but no.
This That's an married, Oscar-winning super spy.
That's married to Jean Garofalo and cheats on her with Kat Dennings.
An Oscar-winning super spy.
Yep. My ultimate fantasy.
This reminds me a lot of season 5 of The Office. They finally get to Michael's Michael Scott's threat level midnight.
Uh-huh.
Agent Michael Scarn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Wow.
You got my one good laugh for the week. I have like one a week where I just like belly laugh like that. I just, the head is back on the shoulders and I just let it go. And you got it, my friend. That was...
Where did I come up with that? I don't know.
When asked...
I don't know.
When asked what his ultimate dream and goal in life, Matt Hume responded to be an Oscar-winning super spy.
Uh-huh. That Oscar?
Wow.
That Oscar?
Yeah.
Best original score.
Best original score, mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
No, I think I'd rather have like a best supporting actor. I mean, it's an Oscar, but it's not like a huge, big
it's
deal.
Not a
I can still keep a low profile and maintain my super spydom. You know?
Right, within the confines of
it's
Hollywood.
What Jared Leto's doing right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
See, I thought there was... Now, you said that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's a he.
Yes.
To clear up...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure... I wasn't sure that he was he, mm-hmm. At least when I watched the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean,
did you watch the Oscars? That's a good question.
No, I did not.
I didn't either. No, I did. But
did you enjoy watching the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all right.
No, I didn't watch them because why watch a 3-hour program?
I'll tell you this. Everything I got out of the Oscars...
Up online 5 minutes later.
Exactly. Everything I got out of the Oscars that I really enjoyed getting out of the Oscars, I could have done by online an hour after they were over.
Yeah.
So, Gravity won huge, which I haven't seen. I don't like Sandra Bullock at all. I think her face looks like a man, and I don't...
Yeah.
She just seems so fake on screen to me.
Yeah.
What was that movie where she befriends the football player?
The Blind Side.
The Blind Side. Everyone I know raves about that movie, and that movie is a fat, just piece of turd.
No,
I hate that movie.
I've seen it, and as I was watching
Did you
like
it?
It's a monument to white guilt. It really is. It's that entire movie.
You make a point.
No, that entire movie. Who was the savior in that movie?
The rich white woman.
Rich white lady, right?
Yeah.
She's always right.
Savior
no matter
of
what.
Of the underprivileged black.
Of the underprivileged black person. As though the underprivileged black person couldn't have made it himself without white people helping.
Well, he couldn't have, and no black people can. But that's beside the point.
In that situation, no, he couldn't have. He needed her help.
I'm making
her
a
help.
Joke for our listeners. I hope that was evident.
No, he did need her help. And I mean, it really, that movie kind of does really reflect the actual life situation that happened there.
Right.
And that person, and I'm not saying that the actual people involved in this situation, in this story, weren't doing it for good reasons. It's just that the movie itself... paints a picture of black and white culture, especially in Texas, of
the privileged and
just of Uncle Tomery.
Yeah, well, I think that's evidence also
honestly.
Because in Hollywood, particularly movies that are based off of real stories or real events, I think a lot of times a director or whoever initially has the vision for the film, I think it's easy to look at a story and pull the Hollywood out of it.
Yeah.
With very little regard for kind of the true facts of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that happened in that case. I haven't read up on it. I don't know the similarities and or differences between the real story or whatever. But I feel like that, like movies like that are done in a really, it's like when you enhance a photograph, but way too much. Like there's like when a movie is made about real events or real people, it just seems to me that it's really, really glossy and made to look really good. That doesn't, and there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of the actual story that's there.
Yeah.
I feel like. No, I could be wrong. Maybe movies are just like real life, but
no, I think that that Hollywood doesn't reflect reality. So
yeah, even in the stories that they claim to do so.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at Captain Phillips, right?
Yeah, we talked about that on here. Yeah,
I mean, the story broke months before that movie came out about how the real Captain Phillips was a drunk who
kind of was like
shirked every warning he was given about, hey, this area you're going to sail through
killing
is
pirates,
really, really
right.
dangerous. If you just sail 2 hours around that area and add two hours to your trip, like, you won't be any danger of pirates.
And he was we're going to do it anyways.
Because they don't have ships that are large enough to get out that far from the shore, so you just sail around that area. And he was like, nope, we're going straight through. Because he was, you know, he
kind of a pompous jerk.
Yeah, he was a self-aggrandizing drunk, which is what, I mean, the actual quote from actual people who were people a part of his crew on that day.
Yeah.
Who said that, yeah, we told him to not sail through these waters, and he had warnings from the French French consulate, French Coast Guard or whatever. He had, you know, warnings from his own crew. He had warnings from the people who employed the ship not to sail through there.
Right.
And he did it anyway.
Yeah.
It was totally a situation that he manufactured by himself, despite everything else that
because
people were telling him.
Because of what ultimately were poor decisions.
Yeah, because he was drunk.
Yeah. moving on, I want to tell two stories of restaurants.
Okay.
And I want your thoughts on them. You don't necessarily have to give your thoughts. You could just listen.
Sure.
Whatever they might be. I told you the one already, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Just because I thought it was funny. And it cements so much of what I hate about people. You know which one I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I went into, and it was a couple weeks ago now, 2-3 weeks ago. I went into an unnamed quick service restaurant establishment that rhymes with Brick Filet.
Okay.
Walked in the door. Lines are from the counter, sort of kind of meandering towards the door because that's just how people walk in and got right in line.
Uh-huh.
I walk right in. My wife tells me what she wants. She's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I know what I want. Okay, I get in line. Standing in line for a good 30 to 45, 50 seconds, standing there, arms crossed, in line, looking at the menu board, trying to figure out what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. Lady comes up behind me, short lady. I don't like short women. I think...
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Do they make you uncomfortable?
No, I think they...
Like, how short are we talking?
She was pretty short. She came probably up to my middle chest. So she was...
4'10", 4'11"?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like, you know how they always joke, you know, oh, he's got the small man complex or the small man syndrome, you know, like kind of the making up for that. I think women do that way more than any man I've ever met does.
You think?
Yes. If a woman is short, something in her cliques growing up or whatever, when they don't peak or they don't reach wherever they feel like they're supposed to be, and they're like, I'm just going to let Satan in. And do in my life,
okay, Satan. Sure.
Yes, and sure. I'm going to do in my life what he tells me to because of how short I am. That's my theory on short women.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a theory.
It is, and is labeled as such.
I don't think that all short women are inherently evil. As
the
way
ones
you're
that
saying.
I've met fit with my theory.
Yeah.
Anyways, lady comes up behind me. And kind of does
the short, evil troll of a woman. Yeah,
yes,
please continue.
The short. Thank you, Matt, for clearing that up. If our listeners couldn't get an accurate mind's picture, I believe that does it.
She has a shifty eye and a limp. You know, automatically, you know she's a bad guy as soon as she comes on screen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She comes up and kind of does that move where I'm not really in front of you because my back is kind of still to you, but I'm kind of trying to inch my way in front of you, basically.
Okay.
Like, just kind of like right here, and she's kind of
trying
like,
to get a little Budinsky then.
Kind of like up her shoulder at me is where I would say she was looking at me, just kind of back and up. Not entirely. Yeah. I wasn't all the way behind her, but she was making moves to be in front of me.
Yeah.
And she comes up, and she doesn't say, excuse me. She doesn't say, that was my place in line. She doesn't say, I walked away for a second. You care if I jump in here? And she doesn't say any of those things, which I would consider to be a polite response to the problem that she, as you'll find out in a second, claims that she was having. She came up to me. She looks me in the eye. She goes, oh, I lost my place in line.
You should have looked down at her and been like, yup.
I should have.
Sure did.
I really...
You're that's behind me now. That's yep, that's how that
that's
happened.
That's exactly what I should have done.
It's the facts of the situation.
But it irked me so freaking bad because...
Like the whole passive-aggressive way she played it?
A, the passive-aggressive thing, and mm-hmm. B, just sort of the stating of a fact. It's and I think that's a woman thing, too, where you kind of state a fact because... You're not really going to say what you're trying to say, but everyone in the world knows what you're trying to say by stating that fact.
Okay.
And so she was saying, you took my place in line, right? Like, I think we can...
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she was saying. But she's just like, oh, I lost my place in line. And I wanted to just be like, yes, you did, because by definition, to be in line, to have a place in line, yeah. you have to be in line.
And you have to stay in the line.
And yes, that's what a line is.
Yeah.
And if you went to, I don't know what she did, went to the bathroom, got her kids seated, whatever it was, I don't care, gave CPR to a dying infant in the parking lot, I don't care what it was that she left the line for, but whatever it was, you left the line is mine now, I'm in line, please yeah. get in line behind me, because that's how lines work.
What you should have done is, you should have given
a... killed her on the spot.
You should have given the decision to the pimply-faced 15-year-old behind the counter and been like, you decide!
Right. The ultimate fate of who shall have chicken first is up to you, my young...
That's the thing that irks me about the whole situation.
My young servant.
It's who will have it first. It's not who will have it.
Yeah, we're all going to
get
chicken. Yes. We're all in
like
line.
It's not like Chick-fil-A is going to run out
yeah.
right there. Okay.
We're out of chicken. Sorry. Everybody else that's in line here, have
yeah.
a nice day.
Uh-huh. And it's not like she's going to order 5 cases of...
Yeah.
Chicken flick nuggets or whatever
right.
they call them.
It's just a 45-second difference of who's going to have chicken in their mouth sooner.
Basically. And it's not even...
Which in the universe doesn't mean a damn thing.
You're standing in... but we're making a big deal out of this, out of something that... You're standing in line to pay, you know, too much money for mediocre chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
And this place is overpriced and the food is overrated. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It is. It costs too much money... For the terrible food you're getting. It's not that great. It's not that great. It's not that great.
I would kind of lump all of... because you're... To me, there's a line in kind of quick eating.
Yeah.
And on one side of that line is like your McDonald's, which globally speaking, everybody in the world basically knows when they go to McDonald's what they're getting. Basically how much it's going to cost
uh-huh.
and what it's going to do for them.
Yeah.
That's what you're expecting.
Yeah.
You're going to pay the $2 for the burger. You're going to eat it. It's going to be okay. And you're going to feel like crap the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Then there's like this other level of quick food that's like the next level, but still isn't really quite there. That in terms of if you want a nice meal. Now, mm-hmm. these are all functional quick restaurants that you eat at. We eat at all the time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, several times a week.
I don't eat fast food. The last time I ate fast food was...
with me?
The Firehouse Subs.
That wasn't
like
fast
2 weeks
food,
ago.
Though.
I would categorize that as fast food.
See, now that I would put that in the category,
it's Penn Station. It's okay.
Three levels of fast food, yeah. So all your right. first level is like your McDonald's, your Taco Bell, mm-hmm. your KFC, just your right away.
Okay.
Your second level is your Chick-fil-A's, your Penn Stations, probably your Subway.
Okay.
That's like your next level of a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
couple more bucks, a little bit better.
Okay.
Then your third level is your where fast food.
It's fast food, but it's casual dining atmosphere.
But we're really going to try hard to be a restaurant.
Okay.
And in those are your Qdoba's, your Chipotle's, I would throw like some of your Penn Station,
five guys, uh-huh.
you know, it's like, it's better than yeah. McDonald's by sure. You know,
yeah.
of course it's better, but it's not,
it's all fast food to me though.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, that's what you're still doing is going in to get a quick meal, not be waited on, but go in, wait on yourself, get a quick meal,
mm-hmm.
And then leave.
It's all fast food though.
Yeah.
And I was just ragging,
as a whole,
I was
yeah.
just ragging on Chick-fil-A chicken. It's not Chick-fil-A. It's any restaurant chicken, and I want to
hate KFC.
It's just any chicken you buy, period, in the world now. Whether no,
every single one
in America,
of you birds.
Whether it's in you're picking it up in the supermarket
uh-huh.
or you are you're ordering in a drive-thru at McDonald's.
Yeah,
that chicken, it's not actual chicken.
Yeah, Okay. It's pieces and parts chicken.
It's not necessarily pieces and parts, but it's super mutant chicken.
I see what you're saying.
It's mutated chicken.
So even though they say it's all breast meat, it's still from a chicken that was that was given steroids. And
exactly. It was industrial farming today. That's the biggest threat to our environment, but you can't do a whole lot more with a cow other than what's already done. You can make cows a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. You can make them a lot muscular.
Mm-hmm.
But science hasn't really gotten to the point where it can make a cow that's all prime rib. Okay.
Then why do we even continue to eat meals on this planet?
Or a pig that's all bacon.
Right.
But okay. With a chicken, it's small enough and its body is shaped in such a way that now
you can make all of it edible. Any chicken
that you buy from anywhere, unless it's free range chicken, you get like a Whole Foods or a farmer's market or something like that. Unless it's hippie chicken.
You've seen the scene where Ron Swanson goes into Whole Foods, right?
Yes, yes.
I come here for the same reason that people go to the zoo, to observe nature. And then he sees the guy scooping the peanuts with the long dreadlocks and he's like, shh, isn't nature wonderful?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Which is, by the way, absolutely what you'd expect in a Whole Foods.
Ron Swanson note, we're going to come back.
Come back to Ron Swanson?
Just want to give a programming update for our listeners. We have
a breaking
Ron Swanson news. At least it was breaking for me. But let's go back to the chicken for a minute.
We'll come back to that. I've got it noted.
Any chicken that you buy in a store.
Right.
Number one, it never had a beak.
That's true?
Never had a beak. They're genetically modified
now.
So
they can't kill one another? Or what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Because they're kept, they don't move ever in their lives. These chickens, they don't ever move out of the cages that they're born in. Okay, they're genetically,
don't make me think about
they're
the
genetically
food
modified
I eat,
so they
Matt.
Don't have so they don't have beaks so they don't kill each other.
Right.
Okay. So
right.
they have feet and talons, but they don't have claws or sharp tips on the ends of their talons. So once again, they can't kill each other. Number two, 90% of their body mass is breast. Now, I know you're thinking, hello,
ladies.
But no, okay.
Right.
Because the way it is.
Again, there's no sexism on this show at all.
The chicken, when it's born,
yeah,
it's breast meat.
Right.
Grows so rapidly that after a couple of days, even as a little chicken,
yeah,
as a little baby chick, after
right.
a couple of days.
It's just one big breast.
Its chest falls to the ground, and that's the last time its chest comes up off the ground.
Are you being serious?
I'm being 100% serious. It lives its entire life with its chest dragging on the ground, no beaks, no real feet,
and kept in a cage.
All it does is eat and grow. They're genetically modified
until the time of death.
So that after a couple months of them being alive, they're 90% breast, and
so that you make a good meal.
Exactly. So we can have these giant breast pieces. Okay, the breast is not supposed to be any larger than like the thigh meat.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit bigger. So you have a piece of breast and a piece of thigh in your KFC Go bucket or whatever.
Right.
The breast isn't supposed to be that much bigger than a thigh.
Right. On your average chicken.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Wing is supposed to be pretty small. Leg's supposed to
now,
be pretty small.
Now the Dolly Parton variety of chickens,
which we have today.
There's going to be a little
giant
different
breast pieces. Okay. So that's why I don't think that chicken that you buy
See,
in a restaurant
a, that's a
or a
classy,
store or
topical
a,
joke. I,
yeah,
that's I give myself props for that.
It's not real chicken. They're genetically modified.
It's processed.
You're eating like the Hulk.
The Hulk of chickens.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder Marvel's movies are so popular then, because we're all eating Hulk chicken.
Yeah.
So what do we want to see?
Uh-huh.
Because that Hulk chicken is in us.
If the Avengers were food, then.
Hold on. Let's take this for a second. If the Avengers were food, Hulks would be the chicken.
The Hulk would be the giant green chicken that's 90% breast
right.
that just goes around just basically crushing people with giant chicken breasts.
Right.
Giant green chicken's breasts.
Captain America? I feel like he would be your lean cut of like a steak.
No, I was just about to say Captain America would be prime rib.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But a lean, just a real lean
yeah.
cut, good tasting. All around
mm-hmm.
good
mm-hmm.
selection.
Mm-hmm. I think Thor would probably be.
Oh, he'd be exotic.
No.
He's a demigod.
Yeah, but it would be something like.
I don't mean like a curry or something. I just mean like he'd be like maybe like a Greek.
Like a big glass of mead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Like old school.
A big
beer.
Glass of mead. Yeah.
Tony Stark. What would Tony Stark be?
Ooh, let's see. It's going to be something that's fluffy.
Fluffy?
That looks really good. Fluffy in terms of everyone really likes him.
Oh.
And
Kale. He would be Kale. Good. He would be Kale. Kale's really popular.
I said everyone really likes him.
Yeah, but it's everywhere.
No one likes Kale.
I've eaten Kale before. It's not that bad.
People that eat Kale don't like Kale, Matt.
It's not that bad.
Kale's like running. People are like, I just love running so much. No, you don't. You do it, and it's good for you, and I know why you do it, but you don't love it.
Yeah. I've eaten Kale before.
I believe that, because you're a psycho.
Granted, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was like old takeout from Applebee's or somewhere where they had like Kale as a garnish, and it was like Kale and orange as the garnish.
And you ate that because that's all that was left in your Applebee's to-go box.
No, it was like 2 in the morning, and I had been drinking, and I'm like, got the drunk munchies. So I go to the fridge, and I'm like,
all
right.
So you ate the kale and the slice of orange?
Yeah, and I eat all the food, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm still kind of hungry. I've still got the munchies. And I'm like, oh, there's a piece of orange. Eat that. Wonder what this kale tastes like.
Down it goes.
Yeah, and again, it was not bad. It's not a dietary experience I want to go through again.
Right.
But it's not that bad.
Well, again, Tony Stark, let's see. I feel like that would be something kind of all-American that everyone pretty much enjoys. Tony Stark's the hot dog.
No.
No?
No. Tony Stark would be like Froyo.
Okay.
Or like...
Because it's real flashy.
Yeah.
Real flashy, kind of exclusive, but really everybody can get it.
Maybe like Orange Julius.
There you go.
Or no, Tony Stark is Starbucks. Tony Stark
is amazing.
Coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Stark is the Starbucks.
He's a pumpkin spice latte.
Well, you're saying this because you hate Tony Stark.
Yeah, I don't like Iron Man.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You like the third one, though, right? Better than the first two, I think.
They're all the same movie to me, and I just don't like the character.
You don't think he changed in the third? There was
the
a
Tony
very
Stark
different
character.
Overtone
sure,
in the third one.
Sure, but I wasn't rooting from the guy from the get-go, so...
So you were just like, yeah, I hope the guy kills him.
No, I hope some other person that I care about... Listen, it's Robert Downey Jr., who I don't particularly care for, doing Tony Stark, who I don't care for at all, the whole Iron Man thing, especially Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. And then it's also... Who else is in there? Gwyneth Paltrow? And
she's kind of an interesting choice.
I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow. For that role, she's fine because, you know, whatever. But I don't know. We're talking about movies. Let's not talk about movies. Let's talk about TV teardown. Yeah. Let's talk about TV for a second. Specifically, Ron Swanson.
Yes, the Ron Swanson breaking news.
Now, I always like when I come across an actor that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone does.
Watching old stuff and then realizing...
The show the actor, old stuff? Or no, you just mean stuff that's
watching,
old?
Watching older stuff.
Okay.
And realize, like, for instance, Park and Recreation have only been on for, like, 5 or 6 seasons or something like that.
Mm, yeah, I think about to start 6 or started, yeah. I guess I'm, like, a season behind.
Yeah. So something from, like, 10, 15 years ago mm-hmm. that you find an actor in.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so darn
much. When they were an extra...
Late World with Zach is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
I think I've said it before on this show, but...
Back when they were, you know,
freaking love it.
They were an extra on the show, or just whatever they were in. You know, you see them for.
There was a lot of that
2 minutes.
You introduced me into Freaks and Geeks too.
Yeah, because it's all the first thing Jason Segel did. The first thing,
like when Amy Poehler shows up, I was
Seth
like,
Rogen
"What?
Did. Yeah, yeah."
This is Amy Poehler before she got her teeth fixed.
Amy
this
Poehler,
is amazing.
Amy Poehler back when she was in Upright Citizens Brigade. Jenna Apatow was. I want to think that I saved it, and I don't think I did on here, or else I would show it to you. Anyway, it's an episode of The King of Queens, actually.
Okay.
Ron Swanson.
Okay, show.
Nick Offerman makes an appearance as a guest.
Okay? No kidding.
Yeah, and it's from...
Who does he play?
Like, 98. It's a very special Thanksgiving episode
uh-huh.
where he plays this guy who gets stranded outside their building. He runs out of gas outside their
house. On Thanksgiving.
So he knocks on the door, mm-hmm. and they have all their friends there for Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And he's standing out on the porch in the freezing cold because they don't want to invite a stranger in, and they're
sure.
all weird about it.
Yeah.
And, you know. Anyway, he plays the stranger. He's got an eye patch in it. So I'm recently watching Deadwood because Deadwood was on HBO this weekend,
uh-huh.
and they just ran straight through.
Mm-hmm.
Just
every
all 3 seasons. So 36 episodes. So I'm watching it. and it's in the second episode, and there's this drunk who's being played by a guy who looks suspiciously like Nick Offerman. And I think, is that Nick Offerman? Right. So I jump on IMDb and I look, and sure enough, it is.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the next scene, he's there. He's in it. He's at a whorehouse. Deadwood is a Western, okay?
Okay.
He's in a whorehouse, and he's having sex with a prostitute.
Right.
He's drunk.
Right.
He comes out of the room, completely naked.
Nick Offerman does.
Holding his penis. Completely naked. Ron Swanson, completely naked.
Right.
Full frontal nudity. Okay, now
it's getting unnerving.
I'm a fan of Nick Offerman and the Ron Swanson lifestyle.
The boat building and
I love that character and I love what that actor has done with that character.
Yeah, you know he actually does woodworking on the side.
I know.
That's his. He runs a business where they custom do. You can order chairs and tabletops and armoires that are hand carved by.
You know what? Another fun fact about Nick Offerman.
What's that?
He's a huge stoner.
Really?
Anytime you see him, like, there's a reason why his eyes are so droopy in Parks and Recreation. He's a huge stoner.
Yeah.
Huge stoner. Anyway, the dude is hung like a bear. Now, if you didn't have respect for Ron Swanson before, I'm just saying.
I feel like this show has devolved into something that I'm not.
I don't know. We can cut this whole bit out, but if you want, but.
Okay,
you brought up Ron Swanson, and
so Nick Offerman is what's the nicest way to put this for?
He's packing
the young ears.
He's
packing. Yeah,
that's about it.
Good to know.
That's about it.
So that was the breaking Ron Swanson news.
Yeah, I saw Ron Swanson's penis. That's the breaking news.
So by far best moment that you've had in your life in 3 to 8 months.
Well, the best penis-related moment in the past 3 to 8 months, I'm sure. But,
I'm going to go on record here real quick. One of the people that listens to this show is very close to me. And that's my wife.
Uh-huh.
And she is going to hate this episode.
Well, we can delete all this if you want.
I mean, we're on the tape. I mean, it's
no. You can pull it off. I don't mind.
But then we don't have anything.
I know because we've been
we've just been farting around.
We've basically been.
I could let me tell the second restaurant story. This is penis related too.
See, now we're all just it's just
we've just evolved into the phallic episode.
Into penises and celebrity news. That's all this episode's going to be about. And I'm sorry.
Then this one will probably be downloaded and shared.
I was wanting to talk about religion and the inflationary evolution. And
we'll get into that in a second because I really do want to get into that, actually.
Yeah.
But let me tell you my slightly phallic-related story. Went to dinner last night. Again, another restaurant story. At a Panera Bread Company, St. Louis Bread Co. It's pretty good food, you know, cafe style sandwiches and soups and things. Go in. I had my Superman shirt on and I had my Superman watch on and my Superman ring. Okay. All on as I walked up to the counter. Mm-hmm. And the guy says to me, he's like, I love that the watch matches the shirt, man. That's awesome. And I got kind of a nerdy vibe, which is cool. He was a real cool guy, but I got kind of that maybe he was really into Superman or really into like comics or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I got kind of that vibe. He's like, I love that it matches, man. That's awesome. And I said, well, even the ring matches, because he didn't see that. I was like, the ring matches the watch, matches the shirt. And he's like, oh, there you go. And I was like, I would tell you that the underwear, and this just came out. Like, there was no thought here at all. I said, I would tell you that the underwear matches, but it's Captain America today. I'll take the pick too. Like, that darn fast.
Uh-huh.
Here's the underwear I'm wearing. Yeah.
And?
I don't know. That's the story.
That's it?
That's it.
He was just like, okay, let me make your sandwich now?
Yeah. After learning the type of underwear I was wearing.
Sure. I mean, that's the first thing you want to
know about
a
person you're making a sandwich for?
Uh-huh. I walk into the restaurants all the time, and the host is like, hey, you know, how many in the group? And I'm like, first off, I'm wearing Hanes black.
A black, basic.
40 waist, XL, extra long leg.
You do you fit into a 40?
Like, I mean, if
40 is a bit of a squeeze.
If
for
I
you.
Try, not in jeans. No, I haven't been a 40 in years. when it comes to jeans, but underpants, they have that elastic waistband.
Yeah, 40 was like 12th grade, Matt.
Yeah,
that was a fit 12th grade, no. Matt.
40 was like 17, 18.
Yeah.
I think when I was 17, I was a 38 for a summer, and then quickly expanded back up to a 40.
And then yeah. I was quickly at home in my 57s.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a comfortable 42 now, carpenter cut. If it's any other cut, I got to go to like a 46 to the way I have giant butt. It's just, I have this big.
You do. That's true.
Ghetto
it's
black
sizable.
Girl booty. Yeah. On the back of, I have childbearing hips. What can I say?
Yes, it's
my
not
mother's
childbearing
quite, hips.
It's not quite, you know, you see the ghetto. It's not quite shelf status.
No, not at all.
But you know, I feel a few more years of basic laziness and keeping
well,
up with your diet
yeah.
should get you to a shelf point.
It will just add to my voluptuous frame.
By the time you hit 40, I think we could have a shelf.
Well,
where you could keep a nice sleeve
by the,
of.
My goal with my weight, yeah. My goal with my weight is
not two sleeves, not a ridiculous shelf, uh-huh. but a sleeve.
My goal with my weight is I go from being a fat man to by the end of my life being a BBW. Like just that's what I feel.
Just is, a complete evolution. Just one.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
Is in the end I will be a fat white woman.
Yeah.
Just sitting on our couch eating Oreos. $10 sleeves of Oreos.
$10 sleeves of Oreos that you got uh-huh. at Skinny Camp. There we go. Deleted. We ran out of space. Apparently, the talk on the on Matt's body frame, Matt's body size and frame.
It was too much for that recorder.
Yeah, it filled up the memory card. No, anyways, here's an interesting thought. You know how people say that they were born into the body of a man or body of a woman?
Yeah.
That whole transsexual, I want to change my gender.
We were talking
kind
about
of thing.
That a little bit
yes,
last week.
Yes, we did touch on that, yeah. What if, or why are there not people that do that with just, I guess it is done in terms of like nose jobs and boob jobs and things. Like, oh, uh-huh. like I want to straighten out my nose, I want to get bigger boobs or breast reductions or whatever it might be sort
yeah.
of cosmetically. You you never hear people that are like, you know, I feel like I'm a skinny man that
trapped inside of a fat man's body.
Yes,
that's exactly how I feel all the time.
Or the other way around, like
I'm a fat
I'm a fat man, or I should be a fat man,
trapped in
or
a
I want to be a
fat
man,
body.
But I have a skinny body and it's not
yeah,
mine.
Yeah,
like why isn't that disconnect as prevalent? Or maybe it just doesn't get as much press as the whole gender thing.
Maybe yeah, I guess that's it. That's what we need.
Because Americans,
press.
We just like reading about sex. It's
uh-huh.
Period. We just... That actually brings me to an interesting story.
Okay.
This Twitter account popped up. I don't know that I actually tweeted the article about it, but and I don't have it in front of me, so I'll break it down as best as I can. I believe the Twitter handle on Twitter is XMediaMan, at XMediaMan, I believe.
Okay.
I think I retweeted a couple of his things. But apparently... This is a guy who has worked in new media for like the last 10 years. Like all of the, anybody that's anybody online, Gawker, like a bunch of British sites and things like that, a bunch of websites, the Huffington Post, he's worked for all these, been in their newsrooms, been in their writers' rooms mm-hmm. and is familiar with how they do things. And he's begun to dish on Twitter. And there's no way to verify it. It's not obviously not verified, but it's
yeah.
very interesting. Some of the things.
What kind of things is he saying?
Well, and also the reason it's so interesting is because they're very specific, which leads me to believe, you know, when you don't have details or you're intentionally vague, that says shady story, not
sure,
really where you're coming
sure.
from. But when you can be pretty specific, that. I think tends to lend credence to what you're having to say. But yeah, the profile just says worked in new media for over 10 years, send tips and stories to xmediaman@gmail.com. But yeah, it's at xmediaman. And he kind of tells different stuff like scrolling through. Okay. The development of tech necessary for viral media coincided with the permanent state of crisis we've lived in since 9/11. There was one in here that it was really good.
So is he blaming Facebook on 9/11?
No, but he's talking very specifically about Like, here we go. In 2011, I'm not going to read that one, actually. To be fair, at Breitbart, if you don't have pent-up sexual rage from childhood manifested in men's rights, you won't have much to bond over.
Okay.
So he's really doing unwritten rule at the New Republic for young applicants, like at white shoe firms. If CV doesn't have Ivy League on it, it goes in the trash. Things like that. Is this... Let's see. There was some things. Matt Drudge's sexual proclivities are about as open a secret among media as John Travolta's. The Malaysian plane is already moving. It will stop you in your tracks when you learn who is playing the voice of the fuselage. No, I'm not sure what... Because there's like some... I think earlier on he was talking about how they find... anorexia was a big deal at Huffington Post. Female writers get their drinks paid for, but never a raise. Many viral sites, problem at BuzzFeed, linkbait aggregators, jealous of political reporters who give the site its credence, but they sleep with them anyways. Like, mm-hmm. Stuff about how media works and things. He talked a little bit about, I can't find it, but he was talking a little bit about how, oh, yeah, here's one. The secret to all the sites I worked at was one thing, Reddit. Doesn't surprise me at all.
What, they just got all their information from Reddit?
Absolutely. I have seen it so many freaking times, Matt.
Yeah.
Where a top post in whatever, whether it's news, pics, funny, even original content, somebody mm-hmm. posts and says, I did this for the last 10 years, a picture a day or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're and on then, Gawker the next day. Mm-hmm, they're on
BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's... It's a little unnerving that all that stuff, especially on Facebook. I know you're not on Facebook. I probably wouldn't be. I manage some pages. I keep up with. It's how I kind of keep up with family a little bit. Share some, here's what's going on with the baby or what we've,
Sure.
And I'm sure it'll be even more so when we do have the kid. But
yeah,
like everything that people share on Facebook is just that click farm, like just. BS non-story quizzing and GIF nonsense.
Yeah.
And I just...
It's Farmville and bad memes.
It's... well, and even the content that is shared, like the articles, are just like BuzzFeed bullcrap.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's maddening.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know what?
Like, I can get on Facebook right now and scroll through it, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
Just a feed full of these morons.
You know what is annoying to me, and I don't have any specific examples of this, but the just girly things memes and like mm-hmm. the housewife, mm-hmm. the bitchy housewife memes.
Yeah.
Even a lot of like the more male dominated memes, but I feel like Facebook memes are very feminine. It's a female dominated
mm-hmm.
online culture.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook meme. Mm-hmm. It's right up there with Etsy and Pinterest.
Yeah.
Okay. But those Pinterest Facebook memes that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And not this has no gender slant. I didn't bring up the female thing to make a point with this. I'm just saying that those memes take what should be, say, for instance, we'll use feminism.
Uh-huh.
It will take a one sentence,
mm-hmm.
and it will make a summation,
mm-hmm.
a blanket statement summation of some sort of feminist idea, or some sort of female idea, or just an idea period.
Mm-hmm.
But it reduces what should be a thoughtful discussion that you have
in general.
Yeah,
on
that subject to a soundbite.
Yeah,
okay.
Which you even, hate even if in it's general,
just, even if it's just mostly like relationship stuff, like anybody's going to be in a relationship with me, better tell the truth 100% of the time and expect me to.
Yeah, that seems pretty bottom line.
Yeah,
and very basic.
Yeah, but it reduces things that you should give a lot of thought to, and have a lot of discussions about.
Right.
I.e. the worldview, your worldview, a personal worldview, and it reduces it to a soundbite.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it means that you're not really thinking about what you believe in. You're just saying it. So that's why I have a problem with Facebook and the Facebook culture. But it's just a self-replicating, self-advertising machine.
Yeah.
That just is there to tell you the thing that you heard yesterday, only in a different way.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a lot of those questionnaires that you have, like if you're filling out an online resume.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where they have
a 12-page whatever it is.
They ask you 150 different questions, and they're just 15 different questions, but they're all worded the same way.
Yeah.
It's what you saw on Facebook what you saw on Facebook yesterday is the same thing you're going to see today, just worded differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the funny thing to me is, taking that a step further, the only new information is misinformation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, then again, all the new stuff is nonsense.
I feel the same way about Twitter. What I saw on Twitter yesterday is the same thing I'm going to see on Twitter today. It's just different words. And instead of Rob Delaney using some sort of esoteric boob plus starfish, he uses fart plus pancake.
Right.
Like, he's not giving me a different joke. He's just giving me different ingredients to the same joke.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped following Rob Delaney. I don't think he's funny anymore.
I
think I still follow him. I just don't. I don't read Twitter anymore. I only read what people at me or respond to me.
Yeah.
I don't ever scroll through my feed.
Remember when I mentioned to you that he was on At Midnight?
Yeah.
And then he had a couple of good jokes or whatever. That kind of for me was, I was kind of over a little bit from his feed, like what you were saying, like, oh, here's, ha ha ha, like.
Yeah, it was funny
Rob Delaney doing the same thing with different ingredients. Now, it's, after seeing him on At Midnight, when I tried to see, and this also, it also helped because I tried to watch his stand-up special, god awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be hilarious if you're an avid follower of him and you think the stuff that he does on Twitter is the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
If that's you, you're going to love his special.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. I think he's funny. I think he can be funny, particularly his analogies, which he doesn't do a lot of anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I saw him on At Midnight. I tried to watch a special, and I was like, I don't think this guy, individually, this person by themselves, is as funny as everyone thinks they are.
Yeah.
It's just kind of found a flash in the pan and been able to repeat it really well, which is fine. And in terms of money, that's obviously what you want to do.
He reminds me of
cash and checks and snapping necks.
He reminds me of that person that everyone's met. And everyone's met that type of person where you talk to them for 5 minutes and they seem like they're the most interesting, personable,
right,
awesome person in the world.
Right. Until the next five.
You talk to them for 10 minutes and they still seem pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know them for 2-3 days and you're like, this person's an all right person. A couple weeks go by and you realize, wait a minute, this person is a one trick pony. This person is not
any of these things.
They're boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not who I thought they were at first. That's exactly how Rob Delaney is.
Well, and going deeper into society and how people interact and relationships, I think there's so much of, because I think we all kind of learn how to do that in a certain way, and you just, like, you're kind of...
We all learn how to give our best impressions.
And we're kind of programmed to, this works, so I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
And it works, so I'm going to do it again. And it works, so I'm going to do it again. And again, and again, and again. And that doesn't mean that thing in and of itself is good or creative or new or bringing anything to the table, necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think you and I look at it from another point of view, because remember when we had that night of comedy, when you were staying at my place, my wife went out of town, we stayed up all night and we watched, I think it was 5 individual hours, you know, or 90 minute specials or whatever.
Yeah. I think we watched a Ricky Gervais special. We watched a Louis C.K. special.
Louis C.K.
We watched
Chris Rock.
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Did we watch, we watched some chick. We weren't totally... Was it? It wasn't Chelsea Peretti.
No.
Amy Schumer, maybe?
Might have been Amy Schumer.
I don't remember who. But yeah, we watched like 5 hours of comedy in a row.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the... Because to me, that's what comedy is. Like, to me, we've all met that person where you meet them and you're like, oh, that dude's really funny.
Sure.
And the same kind of thing. 2 weeks down the road, like if that person's at a job, 2 weeks down the road, you're like, this person is not funny at all. And
yeah,
I'm tired of hearing
joke.
The same fart.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's the person that you work with for me, and you and I know one person that comes to mind that, who's a mutual friend of ours, but it's the person that continues to remain funny over several years.
Because and surprise you with their humor.
And surprises you, yes, and is doing something different than the same old thing.
Yeah.
Because those are the people that are using their brains, I feel like.
Yeah.
And to you and I, when we watch comedy, that's exact, at least I know that's what I do. That's the exact same thing that we do is mm-hmm. is look at it from the point of view of, yeah, this is kind of this act, or this is kind of, these are kind of all this kind of joke, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't see a whole lot of Twitter famous people who have outstanding stand-up careers now.
No.
The people who, the Twitter
community. And Rob Delaney doesn't. He's only got one special.
Well, he's probably the best example of somebody who was a Twitter comedian uh-huh. and then branched out into the actual comedy world. And he's the best example of that. And you see what's happened to him. He fizzled and died. And I'm sure he's still getting booked at clubs, but it probably wasn't what it was 6 months ago or a year ago.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think he only did the one special.
Yeah, I don't think he went on much of a tour. That medium of Twitter and of Facebook and everything else, it transfers poorly to real life.
Yeah.
To actually being funny in actual situations.
Yeah, I often wonder what, because a lot of the things I see on Facebook that I hate, I hate. I mean, there's a boring category, there's a not really interested category, and then there's a hatred category.
Yeah.
And the things I see on there that really just click on the Addison rage meter, like, instantly, are posted by people that are really young.
Yeah.
A lot younger people. And I don't know if they just don't think about posting it, or they don't really know what they're posting, or I don't know what the symptom or what the actual problem is. But I would love to know, because, like, when I was when we did social things, like, growing up, mm-hmm. Parties or I mean, we didn't really party growing up, but, you know, whatever kind of social gatherings, whether it was at church or a youth group or hanging out or whatever we did, it seemed like it was always who could be funniest. And so that kept you on your toes.
Sure.
But I wonder what kids do today. Like, I would love to go to a party with just a bunch of 14-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
as dirty as that sounds. But I would love to just go there and listen to how they interact and the things they say and the things they find hilarious. Like, and if they could, because I love, give an example. We had that party 2 weeks ago for my, during the baby shower, and it was like a diaper party. And a lot of my really great friends were there.
Yeah.
A decent selection. You were there. Mm-hmm. My brother was there. So I had family. I had close friends. I had people I'd grown up with that I hadn't seen in a whole lot, but I'd still kept up with them really good. I had other family there, extended family.
Yeah.
That was amazing to me. And the number one way that I knew that it was amazing was at the end, I was like, oh, no, where's my phone? And I had to look for my phone.
You didn't automatically know where it was?
Exactly.
You were having such a good time in real life
that I didn't need to tweet and or check the price of Bitcoin or whatever I wound up doing. Uh-huh. And that kind of hit me because I was like, I had a great time here. So I wonder, going back to the 14-year-old party, I want to know, like, can they function without their phones? Like, let's get a bunch of 14-year-olds together in a room and give them pizza and Mountain Dew or whatever kids like these days. And so they're fed, so they're not going to kill each other.
These days, it's wine coolers and ecstasy.
Okay, wine coolers. Let's give them wine coolers and ecstasy. And, uh-huh. and don't, you know, that way we don't have a Lord of the Flies situation on our hands. We don't want to do that. See, old reference. Wise humor.
I don't get how Lord of the Flies connect. I mean, I kind of do, like, but okay.
You know, you get everybody on an island. Keep but anyways, I would love to watch how they interact.
Uh-huh.
Like, is it all just memes and hashtags and bullcrap?
I guess. I don't know.
I know. I don't know. And I want to know. I really want to know.
I don't. I don't. I care not at all for what any 14-year-old does with their life.
I don't care either, but I really want to know.
Yeah, it's
in terms of society.
Interesting from a social construct.
Yes. And in terms of where we're going and how our brains work.
Yeah.
You know, because I would like to think that if the grid, whatever you want, you know, however you want to kind of define that, if the grid went down tomorrow, mm-hmm. I would like to think I would have at least a bit of an edge in terms of, okay, shelter, food, firewood, protection, like these kinds of things.
I remember in the before time, in the long, long ago, when we didn't have the internet.
Yes. And how you would find out information and things like that. Yeah. Same kind of thing. Like I wonder if you grabbed an 11-year-old off the street right now and took their phone from them.
That would be a felony, number one.
Well,
That would be an abduction.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I can't do anything in this country anymore.
It is wrong to take other people's children.
Oh, well.
I don't know who would want to, first off.
Yeah. But, you know, you grab an 11-year-old off the street, take their phone away. Haven't you basically killed them at that point?
No.
Like, what else is there left to do? Bodily kill them, sure, but you've taken it all right there. Their uh-huh. smartphone. You take an 11-year-old's iPhone. You've killed them. You've effectively. That's like that. You've unplugged them from the Matrix, and they, unlike Neo, who was able to handle it.
But if
it,
we took your phone right now, you would. You'd be the same way.
But it's been sitting here the whole time, and I haven't been on it.
Yeah, but you've been thinking about it.
Mm.
Yeah, you have.
But even like at the party, like I went like five hours and didn't even think about it.
Sure.
So I love
but
that.
You were still talking Android all the whole party, and
I talked Android
Twitter
for like 40
and,
minutes.
And, okay, well, still.
But like I loved the fact that at the end of the party I was able to.
Yeah, but at the end of the party, what were you sitting around? Trevor and I were finishing up the poker game. And you guys were sitting around. We were talking about apps. We were talking about like a Stitcher app and the best podcast apps and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned using Stitcher, and Trevor was like, "Well, you still use Stitcher." I'm not making fun of you, Trevor. I honestly enjoyed the poker game. You seem like a tight person, so not tight and like tight, but like tight as in like tight.
A good dude, right?
Yeah.
Even though he took all the chips
at the end, well, still, I mean,
which I was surprised at. I'll be honest. I'll go on record. I was surprised that he took all the chips.
I lost 90% of my stack in the first two hands.
You did.
And then just limped the whole game until I was able to capitalize on a couple hands. And
I had that one really good
it.
Hand with the two pair when I had the pocket fives,
uh-huh.
and I nailed it. I played it brilliantly.
Yeah.
I just want to go ahead and say that.
Okay.
We need to play poker again.
Hands. Yeah, it'd be fun. Be fun.
get the chips together, yeah. get all some of those guys back together and do that. Anyways, mm-hmm. yeah, I want to know, I liked at the end of the party that I was able to be like, okay, my brain is active on its own, and I don't need a steady stream of useless information.
Yeah.
And I hope that at least like when I'm on Twitter and stuff or whatever, that the stuff coming out of me, the stuff that I'm putting out there is from a place of I'm using my brain,
mm-hmm.
not from someone else said it. Let me see it. Let me say it again.
Yeah.
Because they got 48 favorites, so I might get them too.
Yeah. I think it's really, I think it's really important to, at least for, if not every day, at least like once a week, for a few hours, just get away from any screen at all.
Take a poop without your phone.
Well, oh. Just.
Is that not what you were going to say?
Yeah, that's not what I was going to say.
Because those are pleasant, but really boring.
Yeah, but just get away from any and all screens for an hour or so.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, or a couple hours a week, or whatever. Just get away from screens. Get
non-sleeping
away from your
phone, time, though, too.
Your laptop, your computer.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Non-sleeping time. And, yeah, 90% of us sleep with our phones.
I think 100%. I mean,
probably.
Who, yeah.
Probably. But there's a lot of older adults who don't sleep with their phones.
Yeah, and they're all dead and meaningless.
I think most people sleep with their phones either in the bed with them or right next to the bed.
Well, yeah, it's an alarm clock. It's a
yeah,
it's everything. Yeah.
So, yeah, but to sum up,
unplug a little bit, people. I think is
what we're saying.
The summation
yeah,
of uh-huh. what we're trying to say here.
And don't hang out with teenagers because
they're awful.
Yeah, they are.
And all they're going to do is drink wine coolers and take ecstasy.
Exactly. No, what I was going to say is that you mentioned something about like getting into a mind of a 14-year-old. I have no interest in almost anything that any teenager has to say or believes. I've gotten to that point in my life where, no, if you are under the age of 20.
35? Oh.
No, if you're under the age of 20, and even at that point, some, like under the age of 25,
mm-hmm.
I have no interest, unless you are an exceptional person with an exceptional mind and incredibly thoughtful. I have no interest in anything that you say about anything.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, I kind of look at it as, and this has only been recently in my life.
And that even extends to my family. Like, I, seriously,
right.
I have a brother who's 20, and I, like, other, like, I have a personal interest in him because he's my brother.
Yeah.
And I'm personally interested in the things that he does.
Right.
But as far as, like, his opinions
uh-huh.
on life.
Yeah. Keep, that's
I'm like, live for another 5 years, and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Because even in my older sisters, not my older sisters, but sisters that are the older sisters in the family, you can see now that they've gotten a little older.
Oh, yeah, things change.
Like the light going out of their eyes.
A little bit of that despair at what humanity
and they realize,
really is.
They realize, oh, crap, life is terrible. And you're like, yep, yeah. See, told you. My screw-ups don't seem so big now, do they? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I self-medicate with beer and cigarettes. That doesn't seem so bad in your eyes now, does it?
Uh-huh. Right, right.
Yep, now that you get it,
yeah,
life is bleak.
Yeah.
And almost meaningless sometimes, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one thing, the one thing that teenagers don't get is that life is not full of purpose and promise. Life is drudgery. It's weariness, and it's about finding the
art.
And
it's about hard work. If you're going to be or do or have anything.
Yeah. But it's about finding art and joy and love in small doses between large gaps of despair and
hardship.
Stress
yeah.
and annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts life gives you are small
herpes?
And
oh.
No, they're small and they're intermittent.
Right. Yeah.
But most of life isn't your dreams coming true.
Mm-hmm.
Almost none of life is your dreams coming true. Life is about finding it. Life is about being generally annoyed most of the time, stressed out. Well, and every once in a while, you get to sit down and have perfect silence. And crack a beer.
And have a stack.
And have
I was
a smoke.
Say, yeah.
And sit down and watch True Detective. And it's about once a week you get that.
Yeah.
And that's your joy as an adult. That's your joy.
Yeah.
Once a week you get to sit behind a microphone and pontificate to
whoever happens to
be listening your opinions about life.
Well, let me. One quick thing you
and
said.
And that's life. The rest of the week is bleak
yeah.
and annoying.
One thing that you said about listening to people that are different ages, I'm 25.
Yeah.
I've come to the point where I think for every age group, there is an amount that you should consider what they have to say.
Yeah.
And it grows with certain age groups and
sure.
diminishes with certain age groups. Like, take...
Like, I know there aren't
well,
any...
Take 14 to 18.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't listen to them very much.
Yeah.
They're younger than me.
Unless they're
not
saying, hey,
that,
Addison, look out for that bus.
Right.
Don't listen too much.
Yeah, there's exceptions to every rule. But I shouldn't
or,
listen.
Or, hey, that guy's got a knife.
Yeah, but if they're saying, here's how life is, here's how things are, uh-huh. here's what I've learned.
Uh-huh. Here's my dream to become an Oscar-winning super spy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not a lot that I should listen to.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. 25 to 35, I listen to quite a bit. They're where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably on the same level as I am. They've learned some of the same things as I am. They probably have some pretty good considerations.
Yeah.
35 to 55, I should listen to them a lot.
Sure.
Because they are that much farther than me.
Mm-hmm.
They've done all the things that I'm doing, and they can look back and say that this is the way that it should have been done, or I wish I would have known this in these shoes.
Yeah.
That's the most valuable information.
I mean, I have a little bit different opinion on that age group, but continue.
But generally in that age group, if you're finding the good ones, and this is, I mean, there's good ones in every age group.
Yeah.
Like, there's exceptions
to
every rule. Yeah. But, yeah, because you can find a self-absorbed 45-year-old that's just an absolute mongrel of a human being and mm-hmm. is
Alex
not.
Alex Jones.
It amazes me that you are as into government conspiracies as you are, and you hate him with as much villainy as you do.
Because it's pretty much a proven fact at this point. Well, not proven, but it's surmised fact.
That he's a bipolar maniac?
I guess not surmised, but I won't use the word fact, but it's pretty much a given at this point that he is just playing a character. That's Alex Jones is
because he's a person in media? You think he's playing a character
yes.
so he can get on shows and make money off of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you,
sir? Anytime when you spend 40% of your airtime not talking about things, but selling to people, and that's what he does. Like his radio programs,
yeah.
his YouTube channel, it's all about selling.
We sell things to people. Well, we don't sell. We actually offer free things.
Yeah.
Which is better than selling.
It's much better.
In which case, you should go and get a free audiobook.
Yeah.
At tripodbroadcasting.com/support. It's free. We're
absolutely
not selling.
Free.
It's free.
Uh-huh.
We get money, but it's free.
But it's free for you.
Yes. And you get a free audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
Go listen
all
to Freakonomics
to
and learn something, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or listen to The Communist Manifesto.
Or The Anarchist Cookbook.
By Karl Marx.
Or Better Living Through Denial.
That's a book by
E.B. White.
Oh.
That's not a real book.
I was describing my perfect book. If I was going to write a book, I was talking to my wife the other night, and I was telling her the titles of the chapters. Mm-hmm. Because she was... There was some family stuff, I think, and she was worried about what somebody thought or something like that. And I said, you need to take a page from Addison's book. And that page is entitled, It Doesn't Matter What Anyone Thinks. And then we talked a little bit further, and she was annoyed with somebody. And I said, well, see, that refers to chapter 3, mm-hmm. People Are Awful.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite chapter in the book. So what are some chapters from your life's book? I think People Are Awful is probably a title of one of your chapters too.
Yeah.
Or maybe said a little bit differently, but
How to Stay Fat on Zero Budget.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would buy it.
It's called Aldi's. You can buy containers of frosting for like 98 cents. You just eat a can of frosting and it's like 5,000 calories.
For a day? You eat one?
Yeah, for a dollar, 5,000 calories.
No, but do you eat one can of frosting in a day?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So you have to disregard the actual serving size per day and calories and things like that. Uh-huh. And so what you have is you've pioneered a new nutritional breakdown.
Yep.
Yeah.
Staying fat for less.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular, very...
A Hobo's Guide to Gluttony. Staying Fat for Less, A Hobo's Guide to Gluttony. That's the good working title of the book.
If you ever get a book deal, I think that's what it should be titled.
Yeah.
A Hobo's Guide to Gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
Or How I Stopped Worrying, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Or How the CIA Helped Me Win an Oscar.
By Agent Michael Scarn.
Yeah, my agent Maddie Cakes.
Yeah, that's your call sign,
mm-hmm.
on the radios, yeah. Right? Because the CIA, they use radios still.
My
in 98 Crown Vicks.
My super spy pseudonym would be Ace Stagman. It's also my porno name.
Ace Stagman.
Ace Stagman.
Yeah. That does sound like a pretty good spy name.
He's
Ace. Are you there? Because it has the short. Uh-huh. You use it on the radios and mm-hmm. things like that. Yeah. Destroy it after reading. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Well, and, nailed it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Best episode ever, I think, is pretty much on the...
We didn't talk about... It was just...
We didn't talk about the universe at all. I was going to talk about... Because I wanted to ask you about your theory. Because we did get a couple of comments from last week. Kind of the God episode,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about some different things, and there was I wanted to take it a step further and ask you about how you view the universe and its age and the points I made right before we went mm-hmm. on the air,
yeah.
that I was talking about.
But
why don't we do a either do it next time.
I think next time.
And we'll start off.
This week
we'll let
just,
the rigmarole wait until...
This week we started off with almost no preparation.
No. That's no preparation.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
be honest. There was no preparation.
I was browsing Reddit like as you were setting up the recording stuff.
And doing your fantasy baseball.
Yeah. But today's episode is just about
things that were in my head.
Us talking extemporaneously with no...
Yeah.
No real guide or real format to anything.
And we'll see how the ratings are. You know, if you guys like this, we could, it could be a once a month thing. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. We pretty much talk extemporaneously most of the time. We just have a couple topics that we.
Yeah, but this is really random.
I know.
Like, we didn't give anything any serious. Well, we did give it serious thought, but we didn't. There were no topics. Other than in your own head, there's nothing here to make you think about. Like,
no.
Unless you're just like, oh, that is a good point. Like,
yeah.
Which I love doing. I love listening to media and podcasts and watching TV that makes me do that. But.
Yeah.
Anyways, enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't, pass it on. We will see you next time. We, this is the show. Give that some thought. I'm trying to think of something
to say. Worst outro ever.
Well, I don't know. Follow us on Twitter, I guess. I'm at Addison Todd, your suburban underscore wizard. Uh-huh. We'd love to engage with you on these opinions and thoughts and topics. We do like doing that.
Yeah.
So click us up.
And click us out. So long, everybody out there in audio land.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.